I'm welcoming Sam Hall to Radio Jackie. Thank you, Sam, for talking to me. You're about to start a huge endurance challenge on your bicycle from Helsinki to Epsom in memory of your son, Sepp, who died from a rare type of brain tumour. And you're raising money for a charity that helped you along the way during the course of his illness, called Momentum. Sam, can you tell me a little bit about Sepp and how he was first diagnosed with what's called an ATRT, which in medical terms is an atypical teratoid rhabdoid tumour. Very rare. Only 10% of childhood tumours are these. Tell me how it was diagnosed. What was his first symptoms?
Well, Sepp's first symptoms were just sickness. We initially thought he had the norovirus, which was quite common around the time of November 2019. And he'd had a few days where he just wasn't really keeping in his food that much. It got to the stage where my wife took him to just the local GP, and the GP didn't think it was anything too serious, but because he wasn't keeping down his food, he suggested we go to the local A&E in Epsom. We went there. He was still being sick with his food, so they tried an NG tube just to see if food going straight down to the stomach would work. But that still led to him being sick, so they kept him overnight. And during that overnight stay, he had two seizures due to the pressure of the tumour, as we subsequently found out, in the brain, and stopping the flow of fluid in his brain. So they did a quick emergency to try and relieve the flow of the fluid, and they did a CT scan, and the CT scan showed up a very large tumour in his brain, and that was the first indication we had that it was possibly cancerous. Obviously, there was the outside hope that it may have been benign, but in all realism, it was probably a malignant tumour. So from there, he went to Royal St George's Hospital on the blue light, where they did an emergency operation, put in an EVD, which is basically a line into the brain, which then brings the fluid out of the brain and relieves the pressure. That was our first chance to actually see him conscious after the initial seizures that he had. And the smile on his face, gave us so much reassurance and hope, because obviously when we first went to operation, we weren't even sure whether we were even going to see him again.
Right.
So it was a very surreal experience, those first sort of day, 24 hours. And then the following week, we were taken to Gosh, because of his age. He was under one. He was under their auspices. So he went there. They had an operation to remove the tumour. And from the biopsy of that, they found out it was ATRT and gave us pretty much the lowdown on it, and that there was a very low percentage survival rate of only, I think, 30%. And because it was stage four at that case as well, there wasn't a lot of hope for Seth, in all honesty.
So why Helsinki to Epsom? Tell me the story behind that.
So Sepp's mum, Kati, was born in Helsinki, born in Finland, but raised in Helsinki, and that's where her family lives. In fact, the ride is starting within about 50 metres of where her parents live, in a place called Poistola, which is just outside the city. So that's, I guess, Sepp's spiritual home, and Epsom is where he was born. Unfortunately, he died as well, and his funeral was actually at Christ Church, which is the field next to it, Stamford Green, is where we're finishing the ride. So it sort of brings together sort of his spiritual home and his actual home and his resting place, I guess, as well. So they're the reason for that. And I like cycling, essentially. I wanted to do something in Sepp's memory. Also for myself, I guess, and part of, I guess, the bereavement and healing process. And I thought, if I've got to do a cycle ride, it's got to be something. If I'm going to raise a lot of money, it's going to be something pretty out there or unusual. And I guess doing a 2,400 mile ride sort of fits into that box. So yeah, that's why, I guess.
And you obviously are a cyclist. You've not suddenly decided to pick up a bike and do this. Cycling is something. Are you a long distance cyclist?
I'd say I'm sort of a keen amateur. I generally cycle about between 200 to 300 kilometres a week anyway. And I'm essentially sort of doubling that in terms of my training program. And obviously the ride itself will be something like 1,400 kilometres cycling a week. So it's a lot more than what I'm used to, but I've done one or two rides which are of that length, like 200 kilometers, 100. I've done one or two 200 kilometer rides. And the guy who did my training program is sort of, he knows what I'm like as a cyclist and is pretty confident I should be able to do it. Just the main advice is just go easy each day. Don't try and ride at your peak pace. Ride within yourself so you've got plenty left for the following day and the day after that, the day after that. It's all about conserving energy and just making sure I get through each day without too much trouble.
And how long is this going to take you? How many overnight stops? How long is the whole epic journey?
So it starts on the 28th of May and it finishes on June 17th, the day before Father's Day. So I'm doing 20 days of cycling and one day of rest in Granite in Sweden, which is next to a nice big lake. So quite a nice holistic place to sort of rest up for a day. But otherwise, yeah, it's a lot of cycling. It's basically further than the Tour de France and in less time is how I sort of sell it to people.
Well, that sold it to me. That is really epic. The Tour de France go through a few times if I was... Now, is it flat? Have you got hills? Have you got lots of gears on this bike of yours?
So I think the total climbing is 2.5 times the height of Mount Everest. There is quite a lot of climbing. We are looking to try and bring some of that down because the less climbing, the easier it's going to be. But through the top end of Finland and Sweden, there actually is quite a lot of climbing. Unfortunately, it's hard, so you can't really get around that. Yeah. Ideally, we would have actually done the ride from through Russia down through Eastern Europe, but because obviously the war, we had to go the long way.
Yeah, you've got a bit of a problem there, haven't you? No, you can't.
Yeah, and I didn't really want to cheat either, so I'm doing as much of the ride by road as possible. The only places where we're not going to be riding is over one of the bridges in Denmark, because you're not legally allowed to ride on a motorway, and obviously the winds are very high there. There's a mile-long ferry ride between Denmark and Sweden, so that's not really missing out on much. And from France to England, I'm going to be on the turbo trainer on a ferry. So I'm making sure I'm even doing the distance when I'm not doing the distance. We're actually physically doing the distance for that bit as well.
Pedaling the ferry then, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. It'll be a good pitch, yeah. It'll be a bit of fun. And that's what my friend sort of suggested. That's probably the easiest way of doing it, and not feeling guilty that I've been getting a free ride from a ferry boat. But luckily, the western side of Europe is very flat. So from sort of Germany into Holland, Belgium, France, there's hardly any climbing at all. So providing the winds are with us, it should be hopefully plain sailing.
So you're getting the hilly bit over and done with at the start.
Yes, exactly. And then when I have the rest day. And
psychologically, to get those hills out of the way.
The toughest part of the whole ride is the psychological battle and sort of starting it from scratch and thinking, oh my God, I've got 20 days of this. But I'm pretty good at sort of departmentalizing rides, even when I'm on the road anyway. And that's sort of in my mind how I'm going to be able to get through it without too much trouble. And I've got a support vehicle with friends and family are going to be joining me on the ride throughout. So I won't be on my own at all.
I was about to say, you keep saying we. So I was going to say, are you on your own? So you're obviously not on your own. You've got a nice support vehicle with lots of...
I do. I'm the only one doing the whole ride myself. But my cousin is coming over from Australia to do the bulk of the riding. I've got a friend from Spain who's joining us from Hamburg to England who will take over the driving from there. I've got the friends from my cycle club who will be joining me at intermittent periods throughout the ride as well. And maybe a Danish cycle club might be joining me as well for the legs through there, through a friend who lives in Denmark as well. They've sort of been in contact with them. So it should hopefully not be too lonely on the roads of Europe.
No. So you're doing this ride to raise money for the charity Momentum. Momentum obviously supported you through Sepp's diagnosis and illness. I presume... Once he was diagnosed, was it a surgery, chemotherapy route that you went to? Because I know there's not any defined treatments for this type of tumour because it's so rare.
Yeah, it only like 5 to 10 children in the UK will be diagnosed with it in any calendar year. So there's more chance of winning the lottery than there is of being diagnosed with ATRT cancer. It does primarily only hit children, well, predominantly under the age of three. So it can be diagnosed in children older than that, but it's very, very rare in that case. So SEP, I guess, was...
You're raising the money for Momentum. They obviously supported you through SEP's illness. In hospital, well, was he in hospital then most of the time after his diagnosis? He presumably had chemo and surgery. What sort of treatment did he have quickly? And then
He had, I think, throughout the whole three-year period in which he fought ATRT, I think he had five removals of tumours at any one point and two different courses of chemotherapy.
So Momentum, they were with you, weren't they? Presumably from the did the hospital refer you to them, or did they sort of appear at the hospital? Was it something that happened automatically, or something you sourced?
If I recall rightly, I think it may have even been via Epsom Hospital, because they have more contact and interactions with the Casey Ward in Epsom. So they offered us counselling both during and after the initial stages of chemotherapy was set, not just for me and Cathy, but also Tate had play therapy with a specialist, which was great for him.
How old is Tate?
He's 10 years old now. He's actually doing really well in spite of everything. And he's still having counselling through actually the hospice that we were connected with during SEP's last few months. Primarily with Momentum, with the counselling, they were really good. They have these amazing little getaways where families can go on retreats, and we used the one down in the New Forest many times, which helped create some amazing memories with SEP. And we actually went back there just last week for an extended period for the first time without SEP, and Leighton with his ashes by the sea in honour of him. They've been really, really good to us, and not just us, but other families as well, because I think the mental well-being side of it does kind of get forgotten about sometimes by hospitals. In fairness to GOSH, they did refer us to one of their counsellors, but just didn't feel they would. It's very much an individual relationship, and if it doesn't click, it doesn't click. But with Momentum, the people they put us in contact with have always been great. And actually, I have counselling with them post-death as well. And they do other little things, such as for Tate, even during lockdown, we had a falconry guy come with eagle, owls and what have you, to make sure Tate had some nice experiences during lockdown and he wasn't forgotten about, which is also very important. It's very hard being a sibling when your brother is taking all the attention and efforts of the parents away, and Momentum's good actually in making sure that the kids aren't forgotten. And other little things, such as when we first came to the Casey Ward in Epsom, there was a massive box of toys ready for SEP, which were donated from Momentum. And actually every single room in the hospital at Casey Ward is decorated by Momentum as well. So it's all very nice and colourful. And actually even during lockdown, I remember I'd spend times counting how many owls there were on the wall. That's how many I was like sometimes. But, you know, it gave me some interest.
You've got a very positive outlook, which is wonderful. And what you're doing, cycling, exercise is a great healer in every shape. I mean, in little ways, if people are stressed, if they go to the gym, you can work out the stress. Getting on that bike of yours and cycling. How many miles was it now? Or how many kilometres? 3,900 kilometres?
Yeah.
That's immense. And I wish you all the luck with that.
Thank you so much.
Will you come back and talk to us on Radio Jackie when you've completed it?
I'll be delighted to. Even happy to do a mid-ride interview if you guys would like. Because I'll just be lying in my bed after every evening, sort of trying to recuperate. Thank you, Jackie. But just in case you don't have it, the website to donate to is www.cycle4sep.com. You can also follow the ride as well. So you can follow the ride on Instagram at cycle4sep and donate at www.cycle4sep.com.
Well, send some pictures, send lots of your feelings about especially after you've done the hilly bit.
I might be looking for flights home, to be honest, at that point.
I won't get arranged that as well, but I won't let you. You've got to pedal while you're on the ferry as well, remember?
Yes, yes.
I think you might just regret that one.
Honestly, I'm already regretting. Like, my wife was saying, why are you doing this? I was like, it seemed a good idea at the time, but I think I'll be all right. And I think once I'm on the ride, I'll be enjoying it. But at the moment, with the weather as it is in the UK, it's been a tough winter getting the miles in, it's got to be said. But, you know, I'm doing it, feeling fit and fresh, and hopefully I'll smash it come May and June.
Well, Sam, you're looking good, and I wish you the best of luck. And thank you so much for being with your honesty about what you've been through. It's been a lovely chat, and thank you so much for talking to me on Radio Jackie. And best of luck.
Thank you very much, Jackie. Love to speak to you.
Speak to you soon. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.